This week, an address by the president of the Mescalero Apaches, Wendell Chino. Music from St. Lawrence Island. In March, the Tanana Chiefs convened in Fairbanks. The then president of the Chiefs, Melvin Charlie, introduced the guest speaker, Wendell Chino.
The guest speaker is presently the president of the Mescalero Apache tribe, and he has been the president of that tribe for the past 18 years. He's also the president of the National Tribal Chairman's Association. He was the founder of the association and also is the current president. He has been the past president of the National Congress of American Indians. He has served two terms in that capacity. He has been an advocate and a strong leader in national Indian affairs for the last two decades. He has brought his tribe from poverty to prosperity. They are a progressive tribe. They are dealing in cattle, timber, year-round mountain resorts. And at this time, I'm very pleased to introduce to you our guest speaker, Mr. Wendell Chino.
Well, coming to the Chiefs Conference, I guess we're all Chiefs and no Indians. I don't have to tell you that I'm particularly happy to be here to speak to you for a few minutes. As one speaker says, I came here to speak to you. And your people that are sitting out there are supposed to listen. And if you get through before I do, you may leave. You know, an Indian paid his bill in town, and he was standing here like that. So the gentleman that owned the business kept ignoring him, but he stood there and didn't say a thing. So pretty soon the merchant says, "What do you want?" "Receipt." I stood there and they went about their business, and pretty soon they asked him again, "What do you want?" "Receipt." "Well," he said, "you already paid your bill." He said, "What do you want receipt for?" "Well," he said, "it's a long story, but I want to be sure that when I get to see the good father, that I have proof and evidence that I have paid all my debts. And I don't want to be wasting my time chasing you in hell trying to find you." You know, I live in a little reservation, and about 30 miles away is our county seat. One day, a couple of our Apache people were sitting in a little park there. And across from them sat two white men. Well, they start nudging each other. He says, "Hey, why don't you go over there and ask those people what they think of us Apaches?" "No," he says, "you go." "No," he says, "you go." So they went back and forth for a while, and one of them said, "All right, I'll go over there and ask him." So he says, "Hey,
What do you think of us Apaches?
He said, it went like that to him. He got back over to his friend and he said, what did they say? He said, we're number one. Well, that's... You know, one time I was invited to make an address in eastern Oklahoma. The five civilized tribes. So when I got over there, I told them, you know, I don't know what an Apache could tell the five civilized tribes. And that's about the way I feel by coming up here to people who are recipients of $1 billion. Well, for just a little while, I would like to talk to you about the Native Alaskan corporations and new initiatives. I think you will find that across this country, there is a great deal of concern by the American public about the eventual outcome of the Alaskan Native corporations. Many people are looking at as to whether the natives of Alaska are going to succeed or they're going to fail. In the meantime, I'm pretty sure that many and varied ideas, many roles and patterns of development have been advanced to you people. And a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous challenge. But let's look back over a 200-year history of this country. We're in that bicentennial year. That reminds me of a man who was coming to our convention in Albuquerque and he was driving across South Dakota and he saw some bison. Oh, no wonder, he said, they're having the bicentennial. Oh. Anyway, down through the 200 years, we have seen the policy changes regarding the indigenous people of this country. Many policies, many programs have been tried on us. So back in the 1850s, they made it possible to give to the Indian people parcels of land. Legislation known as the Land Allotment Act. But I think it was very subtly designed to dispossess the native peoples of their land, which was simply nothing more than an extermination policy. Then in the 1950s, of course, we have the termination policies, where the federal government decided that perhaps the native peoples of this country is costing the country too much money, and that we had better start withdrawing some of the services provided to these people. So some of the tribes were prematurely terminated. And many of these tribes, of course, became poverty-stricken, and some of them are now slowly returning to the fold. Then in the 1960s, of course, we had the program where the intent was to get the Indians out of the rural areas, bring them to Fairbanks, bring them to Anchorage, bring them to Albuquerque, to Denver, Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and let the Indian people assimilate. And I think this was another gimmick where they thought that, well, let's bring the Indian to the urban areas and they can get lost in the cities. And then, of course, something that is familiar to all of you, we have the Alaskan Native Corporations of the 1970s. And as to what you do with these corporations is here. It's going to affect you now and it's going to affect your future. But as we look at the corporations, I think one of the things that we find is the initiative of the spirit of negativism among the Alaska Natives is disappearing. I think into the hands of the leadership of the Native people have been entrusted millions and millions of dollars. One thing for sure, I think it gave to the people of the state new hope, new challenges, and new opportunities. We can take pride in the fact that with the money in our hands, we are no longer at the mercy of the white man. We can no longer take the attitude that he is taken advantage of, and because he was taken advantage of us in the past. A good bit of the American Indian population became anti-white. We were not only anti-white, we were also anti-Bureau of Indian Affairs. And we were not only anti-Bureau of Indian Affairs, but we were also anti-progress. I'm pretty sure that you people, the natives of this cold northern land, felt that, well, really, this land, cold land of ours, harsh land, really has nothing to offer. And then there are those who wanted to maintain the status quo. But today, I'm sure that those of you who are the vital part of this convention have come with a belief, with a conscience, that you can expound and expand your ideas as to what you think is good for your own people, and that you're willing to do your own thing to advance your people. And I think this is great. We don't have to no longer be negative. We can be positive. The second initiative that I want to speak about is that the initiative of the spirit of self-determination among the Alaskan Native, I think, is evolving. Like I said a minute ago, millions and millions of dollars have been entrusted to you. In addition, now you entertain millions of dollars worth of contracts, attest to this fact, that you want to exercise self-determination. It is saying that you want to become involved in programs, in developments that heretofore were unknown to you. Now you are a very vital part of it. And you want to make certain that these programs and services that are designed and devised by you are full-fledged, that you don't want to leave any stones unturned, that you do want to provide services where the people are. The Land Claims College. And you hope to build a school so that your children no longer have to leave your state to get an education, and to design programs that will benefit them. And that you want to gear federal and local programs to making the natives, the Indian people, and their villages more productive. I am certain that you, like I am, want to see the day when the day of poverty is a thing of the past, that the day of waste is long forgotten, and that diseases that entrap our people are eradicated. This can only come by your willingness and my willingness. Decisions are being made today, and those decisions that are being made today will determine your future. Every generation inherits a world. A world that is not of their making. A world that is not of your choosing. But inherit We do. Maybe we may take the attitude that really this world doesn't offer us much. There seems to be a great deal of poverty, a deal of waste, a great deal of discontent. But if that's the kind of world we inherit, then by the same token, you and I become the trustees of the future. The future of the natives and the future of our people. And it is up to you and me as to whether we leave to our descendants a better world than we have found or we have inherited. To be certain, as we exercise self-determination, as we pursue progress and developments, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make some blunders. But we're going to have to accept these things. There'll be times when we will have disagreements and we will have discord. But it is how we overcome these blunders and these mistakes and disagreements and discord is far more important. Because always and constantly we want to feel that the reins of destiny are in our hands and that we can control it and we can direct it. So I'm certain that matters of destiny you are more keenly aware and that you are working on them. So when we are responsible for other people's destiny, it is imperative, it is important that we take stock of our planning, take stock of our money, take stock of our ideas, take stock of our planning. And in addition to that, we must reflect on the goals and objectives of the native people. Then in addition to that, we must assess their capacity to accomplish those goals and objectives. Indeed, this calls for hard work. And hard work we must put forth. And I guess that's one of the purposes of having a convention, where we can exchange our ideas, where we can give and take on certain issues. But always bearing in mind that we have in our hands the reins of the future. Someone has said that there is a destiny that makes us brothers. None go his way alone. All that we put into the lives of others comes back to our own. If that be true, then there'll be times when this kind of a fact help us to overcome our disagreements, disharmony, and constantly always working for those things that are for the common good. Then we also have the initiative of the awareness of the spirit of sovereignty. Over these 200 years of Indian policy that I have mentioned, the efforts have always been to give an exposure to the Indian people. Not only an exposure, but subject them to the American melting pot theory. But I'm so glad it happened there. Against the onslaught of the non-ending world, you have been able to maintain your identity, your crafts, your language, and all of those things that pertain to the natives as the indigenous people of this hemisphere. So whether America likes it or not, cultural pluralism is here to stay. Can we as Indian people provide that impact? Not only do we provide the impact, but we provide the practice and the exercise of this fact. And we're willing to say to the non-Indian world, we dare to be different. For to be different does not necessarily mean that we are inferior. And constantly, as we work for the development of our people, then we must keep uppermost in our minds the spirit of tribal sovereignty. I'm so happy to see the corporations that are involved in real estate and the many options that you have to exercise and to invest the millions of dollars in your efforts to reach a parity with other groups of this country. There's one thing that I've learned as I deal and work with my people is this, that we as Indian people can never be satisfied, and we should never start at a second-class level. But we, like everyone else, should start at first rate and first class. When my people invested in the ski area in southern New Mexico, we decided that we're going to compete with the five major areas in New Mexico. I'm happy today that we make more money than the other major areas in our part of the country. I have recently completed a $15 million terminal tourist complex. There's not one place in the state of New Mexico that compares with this resort on the Mescalero Apache Reservation. And these are some of the things that you and I must believe in. You and I must be certain that we put into our plans and into our programs the best administration that we possibly can put forth. That we provide the best management that we can find. That we staff our programs with the best personnel that we can find. And finally, that our product, not only the best, but it better be better than the white man. It is on this kind of a premises that I have devoted my life among my people that we can meet the competition, that we can be better than they are. So then our cultural practices, our cultural identity, or even our linguistic differences should not be a handicap, nor should they be offered as excuses. For these things are positive and integral part of American society. We are here to stay. And we have every right to stay, and we have every right to remain an Indian. And we want all of America to admit the fact that racial or cultural diversity is a fact of life, and that it's valuable and important to America. And we're part of it, and we intend to make our contribution. And these are some of the things that you and I must believe in as part of these native corporations in this great and wonderful state. And I'm sure that the Indians from the lower 48 are watching you native corporations. And as we watch you, I am certain that you and your corporations do intend to make an impact, make a profit, and to give us a lesson that you intend to put your people on the same parity with the rest of the country in terms of income, employment, health, housing, you name it. So I'm happy for all of these new initiatives that is so evident as you work within the structure of having your corporations. In closing, I'd just like to say that one statement that was made by a statement that goes like this. The future does not belong to those who are content with today. Apathetic toward common problems, timid in the face of new ideas and bold projects. Rather, it will belong to those who can blend passion and reason and courage in a commitment to the ideals of the American society. And I think we can change the last line and say, commitment to the ideals of the native Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.